This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week. This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
With licensed psychologist and guest John Delatorre.
Jury selection is underway in the murder trial of Adam Montgomery. He's charged with the murder of his daughter, Harmony Montgomery, a little girl, 5 years old at the time, who went missing, but no one even knew she was missing for almost 3 years. Took that long for authorities to finally close in and say, there's something wrong here. Also, the family where mom was an addict and the court thought this man was a better fit for Harmony Montgomery. Joining me to discuss, Dr. John Delatorre. John, let's start at the beginning of this case it's troubling enough to me to hear that this poor little girl, I mean, she really was dealt a horrible hand, no matter any way you look at it. Mom's an addict, and somehow this man, Adam, is looked at as a better or more fit parent than, I guess, in some sort of a foster care system. Is this something where the system is initially to blame, or is this, you know, something where at that point in time, Adam Montgomery was a better fit than a foster family?
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting case in that I do think that this little girl, her case kind of fell through the cracks a little bit. Mm-hmm. I do think that the child welfare agency has some blame in what ultimately happened. Now, obviously, I'm not suggesting that they should be held criminally liable. I do think that they might be civilly liable. But there is definitely this little girl should always have had eyes on her. Mm-hmm. And she didn't. And during those times when she didn't have eyes on her, someone did something that was truly, truly awful, mm-hmm. truly monstrous. And this little girl, as you said, never really had a chance. And that's unfortunate because everyone deserves a chance.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking, I don't know what the circumstances were where they saw initially that Adam was a better fit than mom. Maybe things escalated after that moment. I mean, to the point where, you know, they're living in a car. And what obviously happened here, and we've learned in the affidavits and the testimony of many people that were part of the situation or around the situation, Kayla Montgomery and others, the allegations are that, she was wetting herself in the car. Kids will do that, especially when they don't have access to a bathroom. And that's where he fatally hit her and then carried her around in a duffel bag for months and months and months, and didn't seem to have really any qualms about it, including the girlfriend being part of it, just kind of going along with this way of thinking. Is this a scary, scary look into the world of addicts and what they're capable of doing? Or is this, what are we looking at here with someone that was capable of doing something like this for such a long period of time, and then seeming to have little to no regard whatsoever when being confronted about it?
Yeah, I think it actually goes the other way. I think we're looking into a world in which an individual is capable of violence, but for whatever reason is mostly restrained until they start using the drugs. Drugs don't ever really make you violent, not really. What they do is they lower your inhibitions and you can engage in behaviors that you wouldn't have done if you weren't on those drugs. And so I think what we see here is someone who was possibly very abusive just in general. Mm-hmm. And the drugs that he was using made him even more so.
It's a very troubling case anyway you look at it. When we're going to be, taking this now to trial, all this evidence is going to be coming out. Is there anything, I guess, to be learned on this in terms of a child welfare, of what can be done better next time. I mean, the fact that this little girl was missing for 3 years, I mean, it says a lot that there wasn't anyone in her life to raise the red flag for the most part to say there's something wrong here, that this girl has not been missing for a week, but literally about 3 years before that actually came to light. It makes you wonder how many other little girls like this are out there. How many other little Kayla's are missing that we are completely unaware of because of an overloaded system?
Too many little boys and girls have gone missing. Too many little boys and girls have been abused, have been discarded, have been killed, murdered. There's too many of them to even possibly count. And so I think this is another one of those tragic cases that reveal just how underfunded and overworked the child welfare system is. But also, I'm not trying to excuse some of the some of the case managers here, but this also goes to show you that sometimes, yes, you do have to pick the lesser of two evils to keep families intact. But if you're going to do something like that, then you need to make sure that you're constant, that person that you put in the lesser of two evils, that you're constantly monitoring them. You can't lose sight of those individuals because stuff like this happens.
Yeah, it's scary. It's sad. One of the things that I know we've seen stats on here over the last handful of years, specifically with COVID, where so many kids went out of school, out of the school system. They were shut down. And then everybody goes back into school, but there's a lot that never returned. And where are those kids? There's certainly not enough case managers out there to take a look at this. Why is it? I mean, this seems to be a very ongoing black eye in our country that we have in terms of our care for children, especially the less fortunate kids, kids that are unfortunately in the care of mentally ill parents. And we just kind of, well, good luck. See, hopefully you show back up at school. Does there need to be more resources put into this area? And why aren't there more resources in this area looking after our most valuable asset, our kids?
Well, it's a double-edged sword, honestly. It's a double-edged sword because you could easily put more money into child welfare systems, but then whose agenda is going to be enacted when you put that money and you put those resources into that family welfare system, right? That mm-hmm. all of a sudden your parents have to be a certain way. They can only teach a certain thing, or they can only raise their children a certain way, or else they can't get the funding, right? This is one of those things where we think about, we want to have parental freedom, mm-hmm. but we have to recognize that there has to be a way in which parents who are struggling for some reason can reach out and get resources without any kind of string attached to it to get the thing that they need to get them to where they need to be. Until such time that we can start being cooperative and not competitive, I think we're going to continue to see children and teenagers lost, abused, and otherwise discarded.
Sick of the ads?
We opt to.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.